If you'll take your Bible and turn to Genesis chapter 5 this morning. Genesis chapter 5. Genesis chapter 5, I want to begin this morning by reading the first 20 verses. I know as we read through these first 20 verses, you're going to say, why? Why did we just read those 20 verses? Because those 20 verses are very typical of what we see throughout New England, if you will. Genesis chapter 5 and verse number 1, the Bible says this. This is the book of the generations of Adam. In the day that God created man, in the likeness of God made he him. Male and female created he them and blessed them and called their name Adam in the day when they were created. And then it says this. And Adam lived 130 years. Begat a son in his own likeness after his image and called his name Seth. In the days of Adam after he'd begotten Seth were 800 years and he begat sons and daughters. And all the days that Adam lived were 930 years and he died. Seth lived 105 years and begat Enos. And Seth lived after he begat Enos 807 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Seth were 912 years, and he died. And Enos lived 99 years and begat Canaan. And Enos lived after he begat Canaan 815 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enos were 905 years, and he died. You get the picture? They lived. They had family. They died. Well, it continues on. Verse 12. Canaan lived 70 years and begat Mahalalel. And please excuse my pronunciation. Canaan lived after he begat Mahalalel 840 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Canaan were 910 years. And what happened? He what? He died. Mahalia lived 65 years and begat Jared. Mahalia lived after he begat Jared 830 years and begat sons and daughters, and all the days of Mahalalel were 895 years and he died. Jared lived 162 years and he begat Enoch. And Jared lived after he begat Enoch 800 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Jared were 962 years and everybody together, and he died. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you this morning for your word, Lord. Every word of God is pure. And you've given us your word that we know is true, that we might know thee, your son, Jesus Christ. Lord, we pray this morning that you teach us from your word this morning. And we'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' precious name. Amen. What we just read, essentially what we just did is we walked through the cemetery. We walked through the family cemetery of Adam. You know, as you drive down through the roads of New England, scattered throughout every region where you go, there's cemeteries. There's family cemeteries. And as you walk through these cemeteries, most of the time what you see is just what you read right here. You'll see the family name, and maybe there'll be a big stone with a family name in the center of a plot, and then there's other stones, and there's just a name, and there's a date when they were born, there's a date when they died. And in Genesis chapter 5, in those first 20 verses, that's all we read. This one lived for so many years, had sons, had daughters, and lived a number of years after that, and then he died. The majority of tombstones in cemeteries, that's what they say. But you know, it's interesting and it's fascinating to walk through a lot of the older cemeteries in New England. Because as you walk through those cemeteries, you'll see most of the stones are just, he lived, he... You forgot already. He lived. He lived. He lived. And you walk through just row after row after row. He lived. He lived first. I caught you, and then he died. I knew if I did that long enough, I could trip you up. You have to live first, okay? He lived and died. And then all of a sudden, you come across a stone and there's something interesting written, maybe. Something unique. Now, nowadays, it's a little different. Because nowadays people, well, they get their stones before they die. And they put on their stones what they want to say. You know, I might, if I were to do this, I'd get a stone and Douglas Meter, he lived, he died. Boy, what a handsome guy. Well, come on, that's, right? And but back in those days, it wasn't that you got to put on the stone what you wanted said about you. Someone else wrote on the stone what they thought about your life or something about your life. It wasn't always what they thought about your life. Sometimes it was how you died. Now, in these cases, in chapter 5 and verses 1 through 20, it's just that they lived and they died. But you know, it's interesting. You go through some of the older cemeteries and they give unique ways in which people died. Over in Groton, over in Smith Lake Cemetery, old cemetery. One of the gravestones over there, I'll never forget. It's a brownstone stone, and it has a man's name, and it has a date when he lived, and it has a date when he died, and then it says this. Imagine this. This is your gravestone now. You come upon this gravestone, and this is what is said about you. Here it is. He was kicked in the head by a horse. Imagine that. You're walking along, and all these graves, and all of a sudden, he lived, he died, he lived, he died. He was kicked in the head by a horse. That's unique, isn't it? Over another cemetery over in Groton, it's not that he was kicked in the head by a horse, but he was killed by a whale. A lot of that went around those days in a whaling city, right? But most of the time, it's just he lived, he died. And the question this morning I want to pose to you is, what will be said of you, or what will be said of I, after we're gone? What will be said? No, not what do you want to be said, but what will be said of your life? Will your life just pass off into existence and just pass off the scene, and it'll just be lived, he died, or she lived and she died, and nothing more is remembered about you? Or what will really be said about your life? Because as you go through Genesis chapter 5, 20 verses, all you read is, he lived, he died, he lived, he died, he lived, he died, he lived, he died. He lived, he died. And then you come to one of those interesting headstones. You come to one of those unique monuments where something is said about an individual that sets them apart. Something that is remembered about them. And it's not that they built some great thing, or not that they invented something, or not anything else, but all of a sudden something is said, and it's just a simple phrase. And yet how profound it is, how impactful it is, how important it is. And oh, that the gravestones in the years ahead in this area could be written with these simple words about a person's life. For in Genesis chapter 5, it says in verse 18, Jared lived 162 years and he begat Enoch. He had a son named Enoch. The Bible says Jared lived after he begat Enoch 800 years. And he begat sons and daughters. In other words, he had other children. And all the days of Jared were 962 years, and he died. And then it speaks about Enoch. Enoch lived 65 years, begat Methuselah. And then here's what it says about this man's life. Three words. He walked with God. He walked with God. It doesn't say that Enoch did something great. You know, a lot of people think, well, what great thing am I going to do with my life? What great thing? What great accomplishment? What great monument am I going to build to my name? Go back in Genesis chapter 4. Cain went out from the presence of the Lord, and Cain built a city. You read in Genesis chapter 4, and other people did unique things. They were inventors and creative minds, and the Bible speaks about what they accomplished in their life. But I tell you this morning, I'll say to you this morning, that what you see in Genesis chapter 5 and the words that were written about this one man, Enoch, are more powerful, more impactful than anything else that could be sent of any one of us. Simply this, Enoch walked with God. Enoch walked with God. What a testimony. You see, this man had a testimony. And when people remembered this man, when people looked back on the life of this man, when people thought about this man named Enoch, here's what was said about him. Doesn't say he was handsome. Doesn't give his height or his weight. Doesn't give his IQ score. Doesn't give his financial status. Doesn't speak of his accomplishments. But when they mentioned the name Enoch, they would say this. He walked with God. He walked with God. What a testimony. And I want to just bring to your attention this morning three things about the testimony of Enoch. He walked with God. And the first one is this. It's possible to have such a testimony. You say, well, how do you know it's possible? Well, first of all, because he did it. I've always lived by this premise that if someone else did it, it's possible. Now, I might not accomplish it, but someone else did it, so therefore it is possible. A number of you guys, of years past, you've hiked Mount Monadnock. And I guess it was a couple years ago or whatever. You said, let's go hike Monadnock. So I said, oh, great, I'm going to go hike Monadnock with you. We all get up there and you all set off and you all started to go up Monadnock and you went up Monadnock and you came back down from Monadnock and I went about a half a mile and said, that's enough for me and went back to the car and ate candy all day. But I thought, you know, these guys can do it. Forgot how young they were, how fit they were, and I said, if they can do it, maybe I can do it. And I realized, no, that didn't work. But you see, when you look at the life of Enoch, when you read his testimony, when the Bible says Enoch walked with God, that should give you encouragement this morning, young people. Should give you encouragement this morning, mom and dad. Should give you encouragement this morning that if Enoch walked with God, if Enoch had a testimony that he walked with God, then it's possible that I could have such a testimony. Then the question might arise, but Pastor, what a world we're living in today. Man, it's difficult. The world's a mess. Excuse me. Read about the world in which Enoch lived in. It wasn't any different back then. It's no different today. From the moment Adam sinned, the world's been in a mess. It's still in a mess. Go back in chapter 4. Read about the life of Cain. Read in the book of Judas, it speaks about the testimony of Enoch. And it says there were others that were going in the way of Cain. What a way that... You only have to come over to Genesis chapter 6 and you read what a mess of sin the world was in. In Genesis chapter 6, it says this. Verse 5, God saw the wickedness of man great in the earth. Every imagine of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. See, from Genesis 4 to Genesis chapter 6, everything that surrounded Enoch was just like everything that surrounds us. Our world is filled with wickedness. We know that. It's the result of sin. That doesn't come as a shock or a surprise. But the shock or the surprise is this, that it's possible to have a testimony of walking with God in the world in which we live today. I would encourage you, read the book of 1 John over in the New Testament. Read that little epistle that John writes. John was a man that walked in the days of Christ. He knew Christ. He personally walked with Christ. And he lived for Christ. And John writes this, if you go over to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2 this morning. Well, if you were to go over to 1 John chapter 5 and verse 19... John says this, he says, we know that we are of God and the whole world lieth in wickedness. He says, it's all around us. But in 1 John chapter 2, he says this. Excuse me. First John chapter 2. First John chapter 3, excuse me. First John chapter 3. I'm looking for a verse and I can't find it. Can you believe that? It just slipped my mind. Well, anyways, I know what it says. It says, this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. And it says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Amen. Greater is he that is in you than he's in the world. The whole world lies in wickedness. But the victory over this world is our faith. And Enoch had a testimony. Enoch had a testimony that he walked with God. He walked with God. He walked with God. You know, you go back to Genesis. You go back to Genesis chapter 3. This is what the Lord desires. This is what the Lord desires most of all. In Genesis chapter 3, it says this, that Adam and Eve, they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the Lord God said unto them, where art thou? This was the desire, this was the purpose that the Lord God had, that Adam and Eve would walk with Him. That they would walk with Him. This is the desire, this is the purpose that God has for us, that we would walk with Him. And what a testimony. What a testimony. I don't think there's a greater testimony we could have. I don't think there's a greater testimony that a son or a daughter could speak of their parents when they remember their folks. And they simply say, my dad, my mom, they walked with God. Were they perfect? No. Did they make mistakes? Yes. Did they get upset? Yes. Did they do everything right? No. But overall, they had a testimony. They walked with God. They walked with God. Mom and Dad, that's the greatest testimony you could leave to your kids. Greatest testimony you could leave to your children. That you simply walked with God. And they know you're not perfect. But if you'll simply walk with God, it's possible, folks. It's possible because the Bible gives us example after example after example. Not of perfect people, frail people, weak people, but people that endeavored to have this testimony, testimony that is possible even today, simply to walk with God. But you know, the Bible does say something more about this testimony that Enoch had. Over in the book of Hebrews, it defines it a little more. For what does it mean to walk with God? What is the essence of walking with God? If you could just narrow it down, the phrase is simple, walk with God, but explain to me simply what it means. Well, in Hebrews chapter 11, it tells us explicitly what it meant. And boy, I tell you what, it's simple. Now, I'm so thankful this morning that God makes things simple. Because I am not a rocket scientist, amen? I mean, when I went to school, the one thing I did not like was homework. I liked when things were simple, right? In Hebrews chapter 11, we see the testimony of Enoch, a testimony where Enoch walked with God, a very possible testimony. But here's a second thing. The testimony of walking with God is this. Not only is it a possible testimony, but it's simply this, a pleasing testimony. For in Hebrews chapter 11, here's what the Bible says about Enoch. Here's what it says about his testimony. In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 5, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. And it says this, before his translation, before he was taken home to be with the Lord, it says he had this testimony. And boy, how simple this is. I mean, let me rephrase that. How simply put this is. Here it is. He pleased God. Boy, I tell you what, when you get right down to the simplicity of it, walking with God, here's a testimony. He pleased God. He pleased God. Boy, that brings everything down to a very simple level, doesn't it, right? You know, it just brings it down to a basic truth that we can apply. Pleasing God. Pleasing God. And the Bible says it was by faith. Because without faith, very next verse is, without faith it's impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he is a reward of them that diligently seek him. Enoch sought God by faith. God was his priority. It was the most important thing in his life to seek after God. More important than everything else. You know, the Bible says the cares of this life get us so distracted from what is really important. And he sought diligently the Lord God. And he believed God. He believed God. And the result of seeking God and the result of believing God was he had this testimony, he pleased God. Well, what does it mean he pleased God? What does it mean that he had a testimony where he pleased God? Well, basically it's this. He woke up in the morning and says, you know what? Most important thing I want to do today is please God. I mean, he might not have said that every day, but that was his heart's desire. I just want to get up this morning and please God. Puts it down on the bottom shelf, doesn't it? I just want to go through the day and I want to please God. And as I go through the day, I want to seek the Lord. I want to know what God says. I want to believe what God says. And I want to do what God says. And I just want to please God. I just want to please God. What does that mean? It means the decisions in his life. He wanted the decisions in his life to be pleasing unto God. He wanted his actions in life to be pleasing. He wanted his thoughts, the thoughts of his heart and mind, to please God. He wanted the words that came forth from his mouth to please God. He wanted his attitudes toward others to please God. He just went through life with this one purpose. I'm going to please God. Boy, if we could just keep that in front of us every day. If we could just bring it right down to that every day. In every moment of every day. I want to please God. Why am I doing what am I doing? Why am I responding the way I'm responding? Why am I speaking the way that I'm speaking? Why am I living the way that I'm living? What other reason could there be other than to please God? You see, Enoch had a testimony. Testimony that is very possible today. Because the Bible says, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Testimony that's really quite simple. Please God. You mean I don't have to try and achieve something? No, just please God. I don't have to seek to have my name embellish somewhere, engrave somewhere. No, just please God. Just today. Just this one day. Just today. Forget about tomorrow. Forget about yesterday. Just today. Go through today and say, you know what? Today, I'm just going to do my best by the grace of God to please him. It's possible, folks. And it's a pleasing testimony. He had this testimony before God. He pleased God. And you know, when you read in Genesis chapter 5, and here's the third thing about it. It's a powerful testimony. It's the most powerful testimony a mom or a dad can leave to their children. He walked with God, pleased God. You see, when you go back to Genesis chapter 5, we read the life of Enoch. And we continue to walk through the cemetery. And what we see after Enoch is we see the effect of his life. We see the impact of his life. We see the testimony of his life in the next generations. This world is going to be changed. There's going to be a difference in this world. It's going to come through not only you and I, but the generations that follow us. And what's important for you and I is that we would have a right effect on the generations to follow us. And when you read the life of Enoch, and you read beyond Enoch, you see the impact and what a powerful testimony it was. For you see, in verse number 21, it says, Enoch lived 65 years and he begat Methuselah. And then it says this, and Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years. And he begat sons and daughters, and all the days of Enoch were 365 years. But it says, he begat Methuselah, and then it says, for 300 years, he lived a life before his son. He had a testimony before his son for 300 years. For 300 years, his son Methuselah watched his dad walk with God. For 300 years. Have you ever stopped to realize how much of an impact your life has on your children, on the next generation? That day after day, 300 times. I don't know, I can't do multiplication. All I know is that's a lot of time. That's a lot of days. That's a lot of moments. That's a lot of occurrences and events and things that took place in Methuselah's life and his dad's life, and day after day and week after week and month after month and year after year, 300 years. This man Methuselah watched his dad. And one thing he would say, my dad walked with God. He walked with God. He walked with God. You know, I don't think it's a coincidence that as you read through Genesis chapter 5, you see the ages and the lifespans of people begin to less and less and less and less because of sin. In fact, in chapter 6, the Lord says, I'm not going to strive with men all these years. He says, their lives are basically going to come down to 120 years. Psalm tells us that now, because of sin and just the worsening of sin and how it's affected everybody, that typical lifespan is about 70 years. But it's interesting that Enoch's son lived, look what it says. Methuselah lived, verse 25, 187 years and begat Lamech. And Methuselah lived after he begat Lamech 780 years and 2 years. Begat sons and daughters. All the days of Methuselah were 969 years, and he died. 969 years. Longest lifespan. And you know what the Bible says that was a result of? Proverbs chapter 3 says this. Proverbs chapter 3 says, my son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments, for length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Psalm 91 says this. Psalm 91. Psalm 91 speaks about, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. You read through that chapter, and then it comes down to verse number 15. It says, he shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him. In trouble, I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. And long life, the Bible speaks about the long life that comes as a result of God's blessing because a person walked with God. The testimony of Enoch in the life of his son was one of walking with God. And I don't think it's any coincidence that the son of Enoch, Methuselah, lived a long life. And God says that's life is because he sought me, he walked with me, he obeyed me, he pleased me. But the testimony goes on. Methuselah lived, in verse 25, 187 years and begat Lamech. And Methuselah lived after he begat Lamech 782 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Methuselah were 969 years and he died. Methuselah has a son. His name's Lamech. And you know, actually, when you sit down and figure this out, and boy, I tell you what, I'm not good with math. It took me a long time to sit down and read these numbers and say, okay, he lived here, he lived this long, and well, basically, it's this. Enoch lived 300 years after he begat Methuselah. He had a testimony before his son, a 300-year-long testimony. And then there's a grandson. Basically, from my calculations, Lamech lived about 113 years while his grandfather was still alive. In other words, Enoch not only had a testimony to his son Methuselah, he also had a testimony to his grandson. What's our testimony going to be to our grandchildren? Because 113 years, his grandson watches his grandpappy. That's for all you that are visiting from the South. Watch their grandpa walk with God. What's our grandchildren going to say about us? I hope it's not just that we get old and grumpy. Or on the other hand, that we get old and we just buy them all the candy they want. Or give them all the mints that they want, Ray. Although I would recommend to all grandparents to give them all the candy they want. And just smile at your kids. And call them up at 10 o'clock at night, and how's the sugar level going with your young people? No, but he had a testimony for his grandson. It's interesting. You know how many years Lamech lived? Go down to verse 31. Lamech lived 777 years. Boy, you don't get a better number than that, 777. That's a year of completion or perfection. I mean, he lived a good, solid life, a complete life, up until the time that Noah would build that ark. Enoch had a testimony, a powerful testimony before his son, his grandson. Lamech, 113 years he watched his grandfather live and walk with God. And then God took Enoch. We'll speak about that probably next week. But God took Enoch home to be with him. 69 years later, Lamech would have a son. And here's what Lamech would say in verse 29. He had a son and he called his name Noah, saying, "This same shall comfort us concerning our works and toil of our hands, because of the ground which the Lord had cursed." And he had a son named Noah. Word Noah, the name Noah means rest. But what's interesting is when you turn the page in your Bible and you come to chapter 6, here's what's interesting. When the Bible speaks about Noah, verse number 8, it says, "Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord." These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations. And then it says this, Noah walked with God. Noah walked with God. And I've got to believe that one of the reasons Noah walked with God is because of the powerful testimony of his great-grandfather Enoch. Enoch walked with God. He had a son named Methuselah. Methuselah had a son named Lamech. Lamech had a son named Noah. We read about Noah. We know so much about the story of Noah. And the Bible says Noah walked with God. Noah walked with God. And what a testimony Enoch had. Folks, it's a testimony that's possible by the grace of God. Not by you or not by me, but by the grace of God. For as Paul says, but by the grace of God I am what I am. It's a testimony of pleasing God. And what a powerful testimony it is. You want to have an impact on your children? You want to influence your grandchildren? You know, there's a thing these days where people are influencers. I had to look that up. I'm older. Us people that are getting older, we don't know all this terminology. An influencer? What's an influencer? Well, it's someone that seeks to impact others in some way. I don't know much more about that, but I know this. If you really want to impact your children, your grandchildren, and the generations to come, then let this be your testimony. Let this be your desire. Let this be your purpose in life. To simply have this testimony, by the grace of God, by faith, I'm going to walk with God. I'm going to please God. I'm going to live by faith and seek to please God. Walk with God. So that it'll have an impact on those around me for the glory of God also. You know, in our hymnal, we sing many hymns. The majority of the hymns are written by a lady that was blind, Fanny Crosby. And you know, her tombstone is right down in Bridgeport, Connecticut. And you go to where she's buried, and her friends have, some friends at some point died, made a bigger gravestone with some things written on it. But when you look at her original gravestone, it's just a small stone, just like that big. And it has her name and date of when she lived and when she died. On the top it has, well, it depends on how you pronounce the word, aunt or aunt Fanny. And then it simply says this, with all the hymns that she wrote, what a simple testimony. It says, she hath done what she could. She simply did what she could. Over 500 hymns. And yet, she did what she could. She did what she could for the Lord. Enoch did what he could for the Lord. And when all is said and all is done, when all the dust is settled, and people walk through the cemetery of Genesis chapter 5, as they go through those gravestones, he lived, he died, all of a sudden they come to a precious monument that catches your attention. He walked with God. He walked with God. Oh, that would be the purpose and the intent of our heart in these days in which we live. That when people look back on our life, they don't say he did this or he did that or he built this or he built that. But oh, that they would simply say, that man, that woman, that mom, that dad, that grandfather, that grandmother, he walked with God. Let's pray. Father in heaven, give us by thy grace such a testimony that would impact the generations to follow. Not that our name is great, not that we've done something great, but simply that by faith we've sought to please thee and endeavor to walk with thee each day, all so that you receive all the glory. In Jesus' precious name, amen.